Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with fans of game shows and all of Paul's friends who I assume are lame hoes. Not in a gendered way, in a gender-neutral way. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no cappin'. I am your captain.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Now, Adrian, did you just take voice classes or are you sick?
I took voice classes. I'm taking them secretly.
One of us finally sounds like a nice radio voice.
Yeah, it's not like a nice radio boy.
I'm a try to talk like... Wait, what was that? I don't even know where I went.
I don't think that's
a voice people want to hear on the radio. I'm a try to talk like this all old timey shit.
Like a prospector.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to hear my impression of a prospector who's really woke? A non-binary prospector? There's gold in them there hills. Them there. They them. Pronouns.
I got it, and I was appreciating it silently.
Sorry, I'm very unconfident in my jokes. I start explaining them immediately. Yeah, hey, why was 6 afraid of 7?
I couldn't even start to guess.
Because 7, 8, 9... See, in that one, it sounds like 7, 8, as in A-T-E. It's a letter. It's a semantic joke about how it ate out 9. And 9 famously is a shrill bitch. So to be able to eat out 9 takes some real chutzpah.
And 6 is afraid of chutzpah.
A gumption? Sure.
Moxie?
No, not Moxie. Moxie's approachable.
Oh, okay.
But gumption, chutzpah.
Okay.
Nah, well, see, we like to have fun here.
Now that we understand why your voice is all sultry.
It's not a bad audio if it's just bad voices.
It feels like you're putting
voices
on a little bit. I get that you're sick, but it feels like you're doing a bit.
It's just, this
it
feels...
It's just how I talk.
It just feels more...
It feels
I learned this from a chorus teacher in 6th grade, that if people say their voice hurts and they whisper, they're lying, because it hurts more to whisper. You're supposed to talk with a lower tone of voice.
So, whenever you hear, like, Ariana Grande had to cancel a concert... Ariana Grande had to cancel a concert because her voice needed a break. That whole day, she just walked around like, "Hey, Pete, we should get back together." That's how it's
probably
comfortable for her to talk.
She just broke up with SpongeBob, didn't she? That's crazy work.
Oh, did she really? Right after I finally actually saw him in a piece of media, he was the final episode villain for the new episode of Gen V.
I don't know what any of that is, but he was a villain? Does he make a good villain?
He was good. Yeah, I had no problems. I wouldn't say, like, oh my gosh, bring him back.
So now that it's happened in real life, how do we feel about the fact that he played a guy in the movie who got cucked by the girl he was dating?
Oh.
In Wicked Part 1.
I know, but man, that movie really did not stick with me. He was another student, but I can't really remember his role.
He's the one who ends up dating the girl in the wheelchair as a favor to her to make
her because
he likes him.
Ariana's character first, right? But she...
Yeah, well, first, he only likes Ariana Grande.
Yeah, but...
He's only got eyes for one woman, besides his wife that he has a child with.
But Ari likes the weird, mysterious boy who shows up.
Mysterious? He comes out singing and dancing about how about his life philosophy.
Well, every character does in a musical.
Yeah,
I think he knows the musical way better than me. I'm not going to argue.
You know that really mysterious dude who comes out talking about his philosophy on life, about Hakuna Matata? Did we talk about how Hakuna Matata is a real phrase?
Are you kidding me? Pomon clearly is high.
Are you mixing up Pumbaa and Timon to make Pomon?
Wait, they're not a gay couple? I was thinking they're a couple. Dude.
They're a celebrity couple.
I thought it was Pomon.
Dude, if Pomon doesn't make it, I don't believe in love anymore.
They really were kind of coded as a queer couple, right?
Either that or cops. Like, well, also, I guess he's not a tall, skinny guy. He's more of a short, skinny guy and big, fat guy.
Wait, fire truck?
Wee.
Also, for the record, yes, you did catch me mixing.
Oh, no, I know. I don't need Val. Yeah, oh, they're running it back. Yeah. They're like, oops, wrong way.
I love him backing up.
Oh, you said 34th Street. Oh, okay.
I was wondering why we were driving away from the smoke. I was thinking it made sense that we should go to it.
Yeah, the one ways in this city, who knows?
All right, I think we were down a weird road. What's going on? How's your week been other than getting sick?
I've just been taking a break for the first time in forever. What about you? Which does mean I have a lot on my media roundup plate, but what have you been up to?
I haven't been up to anything in particular, just the same old. Did anything good happen? Anything bad happen?
Hold on, let me check. What else did I do? I watched Scary Movie 3. Honestly, the most surprising thing about Scary Movie 3, besides the fact that it is still definitely the best one, runtime is 1 hour 14. Did that go into theaters? Do we let that? I know that movie about the dog just came out and it's only like 95, it's like only like 1 hour 4, I think, however many, 64 minutes. What's up with that? We were making movies that were 1 hour 14. Is that why it worked so well for me as a kid? It was like my baby shark. I was just like, this is the perfect amount of time for me to pay attention.
Honestly, people need to be a little tighter with the editing nowadays.
That's true. But no, it was still, yeah, still very fun. And then because I added reading as a part of my bedtime routine, I finally finished Sirens of Titan, which I think I started like 3 years ago. Pretty good. It was a far enough long ago that I started reading it that in the first chapter that I read, I was like, wait, that guy's that guy? Apparently, you find that out in chapter 3. You're supposed to already know that. It's not supposed to be a twist. But it was pretty good, and I enjoyed the ending. I went for a walk on Saturday, even though I was sick, just because I wanted some fresh air. And I brought my soccer ball, as I usually do. But I was kicking it on the trail, and it's right by the river. And so I picked it up at one point because it was too hard to not have to chase after it to
and
go into the river.
And somebody dressed in a ref outfit just ran out and red carded you?
Exactly. But a guy on a bike passes me on the trail. He kind of whizzes by me, but I get out of his way. Like a minute later, he comes back. He circles back around and asks me if I speak Spanish. And I say, a little bit. And then he points at the ball and asks me if I'm going to play soccer. And I said, no, I just had it for myself. And he was like, well, do you want to go play? And so I ended up playing soccer with this kid, which was not a good idea. I was already sick and not feeling well, but I was like, sure, why not? This seems like one of those serendipitous
like
moments
Drake
in life.
Realized they needed to do some more endurance when they got ran off the court by two teams.
A little
basketball.
Bit, yeah. I almost tweaked my ankle again, and I was like breathing really I mean, I had to walk another like half mile before I even got to the opening where we could go play, and he was just on his bike. But he was playing some really heavy, hard step techno music the entire time that we were out playing, so it was pretty fun.
Hey, I mean, that kid's going to succeed in life to just see somebody and have like the social confidence to be like, hey, let's go hang out and play some soccer.
I think he was just young. Yeah, he offered me some weed, and I was like, nah, I'm a little under the weather. But I'm not a cop, I promise you.
Man, I don't know. Like, I wish I had more of that in me when I was young, you know, just like that kind of seize the day attitude.
What would you pick out that someone was carrying or whatever that would make you go like, oh, we should go do that thing together?
Their Yu-Gi-Oh! Dual Blade.
Oh, the dual disc.
The dual disc.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you would challenge them to a Shadow Realm game. That's crazy. You're going to lose all your friends that way.
I would lose all my friends that way?
Yeah. Because one of you is going to the Shadow Realm.
Yeah. I think you don't do that for like a pickup game. I don't think you do that for a casual game. You wait till they've wronged you. Like, they've thrown all your Exodia pieces into the ocean on the boat ride to the island.
You know, this is a weird thing that I've thought of on multiple occasions that I've gone back and forth on. Do you think it's hard, or do you think it's really easy to write a show where you have to coordinate it to so that the duel ends in the way you want it to with the steps and beats that you want? Or do you think it's really easy to have a card game where you can make up whatever cards you want to make the story go however you want?
I think the second one, right? They famously didn't follow any rules to the
show. I just remember there were enough duels in the show that ended where you lost to exactly 0 life points where I was like, why did they coordinate that? It could just be that it's just more than the amount they had. Yeah.
It's supposed to be like if he'd drawn anything else, it wouldn't have been enough.
It's really supposed to make you believe in fate.
Yeah.
And that it did.
I mean, there was like parts of that show where they like Yugi would just like ad hoc, like he would MacGyver something with the things he had in play to do attacks that clearly were not part of the card's description. He'd be like, but actually, this monster can shoot the other monster off its back.
That was more first season. They really stuck to the rules after that.
Until they introduced battle dice. That was when they were like, we just need to do something else.
Yeah, sometimes.
Battle dice were fun. I remember when they started like introducing that game, I was like, that's so cool. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
My mind is fucking blown. Alright, well, do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, this is pretty appropriate, because this is what I used to watch when I would stay home sick as a kid, is Game Show Network.
What were some of your favorite game shows?
Family Feud, number one with a bullet.
Even as a kid?
Yeah. Loved the Richard Karn, loved the guy from Seinfeld, whose name I can never remember, even though I always make it a point to be like, I should remember that guy's name.
Because I didn't have cable, I was very limited, so my homesick options were I would watch Regis and Kelly, and then
you're watching like daytime TV,
and then I would move over to The Price is Right. Regis and Kelly was a morning show.
Yeah, okay, morning show. Yeah,
but Price is Right was always my favorite. I loved that.
I didn't really watch that much of that. I would watch a lot of I would switch between the Cooking Channel and the Game Show Network. So $1,000 Pyramid. I didn't watch a lot of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I didn't watch a lot of Jeopardy. Deal or No Deal.
I liked Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but the obvious thing about that was the commercial breaks on that show were aggressive and the like cliffhangers. Deal or No Deal. That came out. I remember when that started being a thing. That was elementary school, maybe?
We didn't have the technology for that beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, the Newlywed Game, that was always fun. Hip Hop Squares, I think, was the modern version of that old Squares game.
Never watched either of those.
What was I going to say? Oh, Baggage, that was on the Game Show Network. Catch 21, hosted by Alfonso Ribeiro. One versus 100, hosted by Bob Saget.
Wheel of Fortune was always a big one in my family. We used to tune into that.
Yeah, I think I played more mobile game Wheel of Fortune than I did actually watch Wheel of Fortune. Phil was telling me something about how the strategy was, even if you know what it is, you're supposed to keep spinning to get more points. But I don't even know that much about it.
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, then you get to the meta of there are like bankruptcies and stuff on the board. You can go bankrupt,
yeah. Did you have a strong preference about which one you would go on if you were to go on a show?
Family Feud seems like the most. Obviously, there's only two teams.
Low payout, though.
Yeah, I guess that's why, because they always had to have a payout, right? One of the families was winning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to lose super bad at Jeopardy, unless I was in one of those celebrity Jeopardies where they make it easy, and then I feel like I'd have a shot.
You could win celebrity. Yeah. You're smarter than Taron Killam.
Do you remember Jeff Foxworthy, and are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh, I was going to say Jeff Foxworthy, who also hosted the American Bible Challenge.
Oh. Was that on the Game Show Network? I never saw that one.
I never watched that one, but I did watch... I saw the commercials for it, and I did watch Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. Yeah, I love that one.
I don't know if I loved it. I caught it a couple times when it was, like, on... What was it, like, Fox or ABC? Fox, I want to say.
Mm.
Those were some smart fifth graders. I remember it being kind of hard.
They had a great theme song. I remember when they introduced some guy who was some very successful business dude, and he got out on the first question about what the median of a set of numbers was, and I was like, oh, my God. It really is all bullshit.
In like middle school, they make it seem like there's only three things to know in statistics, and it's average, median, and mode. And I think I'm kind of blanking on what a mode is.
It's a bit of ice cream on a piece of pie.
Ooh, a la mode.
No, it's literally just the number that's the most.
Oh.
Yeah. If you had missed that on Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, you'd have been so embarrassed. Wow.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, I'm here to coach you. I'm here to get you, buddy. But if they asked any of those fifth graders how to write a for loop that optimizes the distribution of data in an incoming stream of web queries that is trafficked in a website on the back end of a firewall that has to be bypassed and decrypted, I think we know who'd have the last laugh there.
It's nice when your friends know what you do.
Yeah. So wait, if you had the classic... Did you have the classic games? Did you get the stuff from like the 50s and 60s reruns, or did you just get like Primetime Going On Now?
Yeah, I got Primetime Going On Now.
Okay, because that was like the Newlywed Game is like they had a newer version of it that they made with a new host. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a black woman. But then also they had the reruns where it was like clearly people from the 70s that looked like that 70s show type people.
You know, it's so funny. I was going to say the only reason I knew what that was growing up was because of the episode of that 70s show where they spoof it.
Oh, see, it's a great show. It's a fun time. Also, we've done it on the pod together.
I think we talked about this before, but if you were going to go on Family Feud, who in your family are you bringing in?
Everyone except for my dad. Okay. Leaving my dad at home.
And who are you bringing in place of your dad?
That's a tough question because I have no in-laws to bring. And then cousins, I don't know who's the best at speaking English. I have one, but he's kind of dumb. Oh, shit, that's what I was going to say about the kid that I played soccer with, is he reminded me a lot of my cousin, is he was doing a lot of like rainbows and flips and shit, but couldn't make it a competent pass.
Wow.
yeah, I really would, unless I could really string it together as like family friend that I just bring one of my friends, I really don't know who I would use to fill that last spot.
I think for me, it would be no parents. It would be me, my siblings, and really? Their spouses.
In-laws? Yeah. Wow, you're disrespecting Eli and Najale?
And I would be the head of the family, absolutely.
That's true.
I'd be doing the banter with Steve at the front of the group.
That's true. But who would do Fast Money with you? For me, it'd be Doralee.
Family Feud is such a funny one because there is so little like meta, but are you going for give it to the other team in the hopes that they'll X
out? You never give it to the other team. You always take it, yeah.
You always take it?
I think statistically, that's got to be true. This is a dream that I had when I was a kid.
If you don't get all of them, you X out and the other team just has to get one to steal, right?
Yeah, but it's usually really hard to get if your whole team went through it too. Yeah. This is something that I thought about. I can't remember what game I used to think about this for, but I feel like Family Feud was one of them where I was like, how has no one made the spreadsheet to show statistically that like taking it every time is very clearly the way to go? I can't remember what else Cutthroat Kitchen. That was the show where I used to always watch it, and I'd be like, someone needs to make a spreadsheet of like, on average, how much money should you spend the first round on sabotages? On average, like, how likely are you to get fucked over if you spend the first amount of money on the one that fucks over everybody else? Like, that was like, I don't know why, that game really awakened the spreadsheet in my mind where I was like, someone should be getting this data and have like the perfect strategy for this game.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because there's other things, like, you hear from a lot of the Jeopardy winners that, like, the people who go on Jeopardy are trivia whiz as almost all the time, and the idea is they basically all know the answers.
Yeah.
At least if one of them knows the answer, it's pretty likely everybody will, and so it really becomes more a competition about being good on that buzzer. So
that's what it is. It becomes like a jock thing where like it becomes like a you have to train to be good on the buzzer.
That's what a lot of people say. Yeah, they're like,
interesting,
because apparently you can buzz in at a very specific time and it lets you know. So it's really like a reaction time thing, because it's not as soon as you see the question. It's once he's some part of the way through reading it, you're allowed to buzz in. And also, I think there's a back off, so you can't just mash it. So it's about being quick on it without jumping the gun too quickly. I know people have done really good at The Price is Right, both by like coming up with strategies, and some people have just memorized the MSRP for so many things that they're just like kind of great at it, to the point where...
Oh, is that the second round of... Is that the first round of The Price is Right? Is that the whole game?
There's an MSRP component throughout, like both to get up there, then you play a mini game that's a little bit connected to MSRP, then the final round is also a Guess the Price game.
And do they ever bring on, like, Bill Gates to do a jokey episode where he doesn't know the price of milk, or...
Yeah. Like a banana. What could that cost? $20?
$10? Yeah, exactly.
So they actually started in The Price is Right doing BS where they would show you a car and they wouldn't tell you the exact modifications they'd made to it. So people couldn't be that perfect at it. It would be like, oh, you know, they didn't pay for the upgrade for the radio, or they did, or whatever. To add an element of randomness for these people who just memorized everything, which felt like such BS.
Yeah, that's crazy. Honestly, I think I would do bad at that game now, just because I think I would have a problem distinguishing between like Amazon prices and regular prices, or like MSRP or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like in the 90s, there was like a real MSRP for most things that you would like encounter. Like a jet ski was going to cost like one thing. Now it feels like there's just like a glut of products on the market. Like they could just bring in like a different Chinese brand you'd never heard of, and it's kind of just a toss up.
Yeah, exactly. Because capitalism has worked and we have so many competitors making the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I do like that The Price is Right has the element of the audience is allowed to shout at you what they think the answer is as you're going. That's a part of it.
Oh, Pyramid? Was Pyramid on Friends? Is that what they... Yeah, right?
Yeah, but I never watched that.
You never watched Pyramid or Friends?
Pyramid. Famously, I'm a big Friends lover.
Yeah, because Joey is a celebrity who's on the game, right? That's how it goes.
Pyramid is just kind of like...
It's like Taboo. It's a good time. That was actually one of the shows that I wanted to do when I was a kid, but I definitely haven't watched it in a really long time. Honestly, most of my exposure nowadays is hearing on Threedom Lauren Lapkus talk about the fact that because she's a minor celebrity, she's kind of in the perfect range to get invited to do game shows. So, like, she talks a lot about which one she wants to go do. I think her, she won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, or she won a lot of money on it.
But the celebrities do it for charity, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, her husband was her lifeline. She is the type of celebrity where she could still use the money. I wonder if there's some celebrities that are like, this actually is still a lot of money for me.
I think she either talked about trying to do Pyramid or maybe she got to do Pyramid. I can't remember, but yeah.
What else? I was always really bad. It's funny that we watched as a family and I never got good at Wheel of Fortune. I think maybe I'd be better now that I do the crosswords more often, but...
I guess so. Where do the phrases come from? What's supposed to be the generation of that?
I think just the show.
Just like, so it's just anything that they think of?
I mean, they give you the category.
I think that's what bugs me is I don't have like a point of reference for it.
It's just, what do you call it? Hangman.
Yeah, I don't like it. Not my cup of tea.
Those 30-minute shows, it really is crazy. We were like sitting through those commercials because on top of that, like so little of the game is actually played. I think there's like 3 rounds. I guess if you count the fast rounds, like 4 or 5 phrases, maybe an episode.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, there was some where, like, Deal or No Deal would have the episodes that, like, go into the next episode because they're, like, halfway through one or whatever. They had a way of dealing with that.
Yeah.
You didn't know 1 vs. 100 with Bob Saget?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that one was fun. I think I played that. Was that one that had, like, on the PlayStation or something like that? Like, they had that on a console? I think we played that at your house.
What, remember that? Like, I can't remember the name of it, but there was, like, a iPhone game that was almost, like, the same concept where... I'm sure you played it. It was like a big trend of like 2018, I want to say, where you would every night at 8 p.m., you would basically, it would be like 20 questions.
Oh, you mean HQ.
HQ. Yeah.
Yeah, that was during 2019. Yeah.
And that was kind of 1 versus 100. Same concept. It's just like whittling away until
it was. Yeah. You versus everyone else who was playing. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I watched a whole documentary about that thing. That thing was crazy. So you didn't get to cycle through a lot of different hosts? You don't have opinions about different hosts of different shows? Of people taking over different eras?
No, I don't have too many opinions.
You're Bob Barker getting taken over by Drew Carey?
Yeah, I mean, by that time I wasn't watching anymore. So it didn't really affect me.
So wait, is Steve Harvey the only Family Feud host that you've known? There's no way that's true, right? There's no way that's true.
That's the only Family Feud host I've known.
Steve Harvey started when we were, like, in college.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Then maybe I just have a bad memory for it?
I mean, I think as controversial as he is, and we do have a complicated relationship with Steve Harvey as a podcast, I will say he's probably my favorite host.
So who was it before?
I think the guy from Seinfeld. And then before that, I think it was Richard Karn.
Another one where it's kind of like a... It's kind of like Wheel of Fortune, where it just feels like not enough of the game is the game. Where it's like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You watch it and you're like, man, I could just, like, the fun part of this is seeing the trivia and the answers.
I think my favorite part is when they show all the flashbacks to the little Indian kid's life and how he learned about all the things that he's giving the right answer for.
That's actually not every episode.
That's not? That's the only episode I've watched.
Okay.
I watched it in theaters. It was such a big event. I was like, oh, this is clearly their best episode. So wait, there's not a bunch of Indian people dancing at the end of every episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Well, no, that's every episode.
Okay, they do Jai Ho every episode. Okay. Now, I was going to say, it seems like an expensive show to put on, to give away $1 million and to have to do all that. And to have to choreograph Jai Ho. Oh, shit, what was I going to say? So wait, yeah, Catch-21, Alfonso Ribeiro?
Never even heard of it.
That one was interesting because it was basically 21. So, you know, you get like cards, you answer trivia questions, you try and get to 21. First, you do it against other people, then you do it on your own in a round. Where there was obvious strategy to it, and Alfonso was clearly pretty well versed in the game. Like, he'd give everybody really good hints, and it would always really annoy me if the person didn't take his hints. But what's your, what is your opinion or what's your value in terms of the spectrum of skill game versus luck game? Your Deal or No Deals versus your other types of games.
I think the complete luck games were never interesting to me because it's all about the tension. And like I said, was like, who wants to be a millionaire? I'm like, I want to see the questions. Like, there isn't enough game in this game. They've done the tension to such a large degree that they've lost any aspect of like playing along in the audience.
So you didn't like Deal or No Deal then? Because there's literally no game to that at all, besides the banker.
Yeah, I don't think I watched that too much. It felt like an event show, so I watched it when it started to come on. But after like a couple,
you didn't watch Deal or No Deal Island?
Is that a real thing?
That is a real thing. You didn't watch Deal or No Deal MILF Island? Yeah. I think that's about all the game shows that I know and have opinions on. Should we get into a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Brought in Ask a Manager, Allison Green, and I'll jump right into the question. Pre-pandemic, I was on a game show. The game show itself isn't well known, but I did win a small but not life-changing sum. Think like 3 months' salary after taxes. My coworkers knew I had been on this show, but per the contract I signed, I wasn't allowed to reveal the results until the episode aired. I ended up using the entire sum to pay down my student loans, which, not being able to see the future, seemed smarter at the time than putting it in my savings.
Damn.
I do have some savings, but not enough for this economy. The episode has aired within the past few weeks, and a few of my coworkers have watched it. The issue is that we just went through a pretty large round of layoffs, and I overheard two of my coworkers, Willow and Xander.
She works with two Gen Z people? She works with two Gen Alpha kids?
Oh, I guess she's using names from Buffy, the show, gossiping about how unfair it is that Buffy was laid off, but I wasn't. I work as a part of a formerly two-person team and am now doing Buffy's former duties as well as my own. Willow has said that because I have all that game show money and Buffy doesn't, it's unfair that she's now jobless. Xander expressed concern over Buffy's kid and pointed out that I don't have kids, and so it wouldn't be as expensive for me. I really liked Buffy, and she and I were hired at the exact same time. I have no idea why she was laid off and I wasn't. It's just one of those things. My coworkers know how much I won before taxes because they make a big deal of it in the show. It's 4 months' salary before taxes, but it's not like I can live with this for a whole year money. I'm worried that my coworkers' gossip may spread and make me a target in the next round of layoffs. I also don't like the fact that they seem to prefer Buffy over me. I fully acknowledge that I may be reading too much into this and that ultimately layoffs are out of my control. Is this worth bringing up with Willow and Xander? Should I just dismiss this as gossip and pretend I never heard anything? Should I reveal that I already spent the money? Any advice would be appreciated.
You should definitely reveal that you've already spent the money and come in with a big fur coat the next day. Sorry, darling, the money's gone.
It would seem crazy for a company to make layoff decisions based on game show.
Yeah, exactly.
Winnings.
That's what I was going to say. How are you going to say that it's out of your control, but then also be like, but it's definitely in Willow and Xander's control? I think this is such a stupid question. Also, you just said you're one of two people who does your job and the other person's gone.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like a real risk, but it is really bitchy of these coworkers to be asking for you to get laid off. Like, I've been part of layoffs before at companies, and the idea that I would walk around being like worried about a second round of layoffs and trying to make sure it's not me and somebody else. Like, that seems so downright skeezy. Like, just walking around the office, like, that person should be the one laid off.
Do you think you would have had that power?
No, not at all.
Really?
Unless these people are, like, close to somebody in management, I don't think they have that power either.
She has no kid, and she has 4 pre-tax months of salary.
Managers do have leeway on this, and I guess if one of them's close to the manager, it could sway them.
So you think this is a real problem?
I mean, I would hope not if people in this office are reasonable, but, I mean, based off everything we've ever heard from Ask a Manager, usually don't write in to Ask a Manager when you're...
Yeah.
When your coworkers and manager are reasonable.
So what are they going to... Are they going to bring Buffy back? I don't get it.
I think they're worried about the next round of layoff.
But she... Or they already laid off the other person who does her job.
Sometimes they just cut teams, man. It happens. I mean...
Maybe so, then.
People cut teams and reorg and just have other teams do the work.
Why not just get AI to do all these jobs, then?
Hey, this question was submitted after the pandemic. They didn't know about AI yet.
That's true. after the pandemic.
Wait, this is in October of 2020. How is this? Okay, so this was happening right at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah. Which means that she did a virtual game show?
Pre-pandemic, she did the game show.
Oh, because then it came out. That's right. Yeah. She had to keep hush-hush about the... Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's another thing from Wheel of Fortune. Apparently, Pat Sajak has them record every episode, like, at the start of the year. Like, he works for two weeks, and takes the rest of the year off.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Are they going to hire Buffy and her kid back? That'd be cool.
Oh, and hire the kid. Child labor is coming back in.
To take over, to take over Angel's position, who's another person from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Who are we going to call this writer, letter writer?
I actually don't know for sure if Xander and Willow are characters. Just once I saw Buffy, I assumed that sounds like...
Willow is Allison Hannigan, and Xander is maybe one of the vampires. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like it's that much money. I guess, I don't know. Yeah, I guess when you hear 4 months win like $10,000, $15,000, you're like, yeah.
That's like, yeah, that sounds like she probably won like $20,000, right?
$20,000, yeah. That's a good amount.
At least. I guess, I mean, that's if she's not making that much, if she's making good money more.
Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think it should affect anyone's decisions, though. I don't know. I don't know how that information gets to the upper brass and then gets factored into their decision making.
I think the way it gets to the upper brass is that they ask the manager, like, hey, who on your team, if there's a round of layoffs,
has the most savings, yeah.
Whose performance is the worst? And the manager, knowing that layoffs are coming, can game that, right? They can be like, okay, I want to keep this person. I don't want to keep this person. I'll say this person is redundant.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, being friends with your manager isn't like, that's not an unheard of thing. If Xander or
Willow.
If Xander or Willow are friends with the manager and pitch this to the manager over drinks, like, maybe it could convince them.
Mm. How do you feel about them feeling bad about paying off their student loans?
It does seem like a bad decision now that layoffs are happening. You want to pay the minimum on your student loans if you need that money soon.
Oh, I thought you meant because this is right around when they were doing debt forgiveness. Or is that not when this was?
Oh, no. I thought it was because it's like when you might need the money to make it to your next job. Like if you need the money for the next 2 or 3 months of living, then you should have kept making the minimum payments so you could spend this money on your life while you're looking for another job.
Gotcha. I don't know why that's why I read that way.
Yeah.
I think that was later down the road. We'll go back to college now that you're free for student loans.
Take out more student loans.
Yeah. Clearly, you can just go back on that game show. That's what my my friend whose husband won a bunch of money on Jeopardy always says. We got to get him back on Jeopardy.
Oh. Okay. I think you've got to figure out something about Willow and Xander.
Oh, some dirt on them?
Yeah, why they should be good to lay off.
They both faked having kids for sympathy points.
Their kids are fake.
Not real. They're fake.
Yeah, I can't get over how skeezy that is to when you know layoffs are coming to start like throwing mud.
Yeah, I've never experienced this before. I've never been in a situation where layoffs happen. That seems terrible.
At the bare minimum, you would think if it was a good office, the fact that they were acting like that would actually be more of a black mark on them. But,
Oh, you think that their negativity would be brought in?
Yeah, you're not a team player. You're all right, cool. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, I think so.
Your coworkers are really wrong here. If they thought about it, they'd realize that they probably don't want layoffs to be done on the basis of who most needs the work. Should we lay off people without kids first? Or maybe married people first, since they have a spouse to help them? What about Jeff, who has those expensive student loan payments? Or Jane, who got that inheritance from her grandmother in spring?
And doesn't definitely Jane. Get rid of Jane.
And doesn't Cecil live rent-free in his parents' garage? That's not how it works, and that's not how anyone should want it to work. When employers get into the business of judging employees' personal financial situations, or more accurately, what they think they know about those employees' personal financial situations, which might not even be correct, bad things happen. You make layoff decisions based on business needs, what functions and roles you can realistically cut, sometimes factoring in performance, tenure, etc. That said, their friend just lost their job, and they might be worried about their own jobs too. When people are emotional, they sometimes say things they don't hold up to logical scrutiny. And sometimes they say things they won't really think a few weeks later. It's pretty unlikely that their comments will put a target on you if there's another round of cuts. Managers involved in layoff decisions are unlikely to be influenced by this type of griping. Even if it did give them pause, they're highly likely to realize the absurdity of thinking that a few months' salary significantly changes your financial situation to the extent that it should enter their thinking. As for whether to say something to Willow and Xander, if you just overheard this the one time, I'd let it go. It could be the kind of remark that was more blowing off steam than anything else. But if you start hearing it repeatedly, or they're saying it to others, then sure, there's nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, I keep hearing you saying this, and I want to let you know that especially after taxes, the money from the show wasn't the sort of significant bump you'd think. I spent it on bills. I need my job as much as anyone does." Of course, you don't have to explain that to them, and they're in no way entitled to your financial details, but it sounds like you'd get some peace of mind from setting the record straight. I'll just resist the impulse unless you see evidence that this was more than a one-time conversation.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because it's such a... like I said, it probably seems like a bigger amount of money than it actually is when you're working full-time. It is interesting, though, like, there's no way that there aren't... Yeah, you can't nickel and dime people like that, because there's no way that there aren't people... Probably the people who are complaining about it probably have parents who would pay for them if they were unemployed. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. There's probably, like, a bunch of privileges that people don't understand.
That's kind of where my mind goes, too. Especially in, like, America, when you start talking about people's personal finances, it's impossible to know how much somebody actually has or doesn't, because so many people have parents that, like, you randomly wouldn't realize it, but their lifestyle is completely paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, it's just like it feels so up in the air who has and doesn't have money.
All right, are you ready for my question?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, this is from the Treehouse. They're a gaming outlet. Here we go. Help, I'm dating a game splainer. Today we introduce a brand new feature to the Treehouse blog, an agony aunt column in which we answer your questions from serious to silly. On all topics, game-related. Hello and welcome to the Treehouse's new Agony Aunt column. I'm Chella, whom you may have met if you visited the Treehouse before. It's possible I taught you a party game, let you know that we have some corner brownies available in the cake display rack, or served you a birdhouse tea. Now you can get to know another side of me as the arbiter of both real and theoretical board game conundrums, including whether or not there exists a board game called Conundrum. There are two. And you can send in questions from the comfort of your own home. More on that later. For now, I will share with you my credentials. Okay, I have no official Agony Aunt credentials, but I have worked at the Treehouse since our opening day, witnessed a lot of gaming, and played plenty of board games myself, and with others. And in that time, I have helped solve many a game-related query. Alright, yada 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 yada. Dear Treehouse team, please help. I've started dating a perfectly decent guy. My family loves him, he is an upstanding citizen, and he is very cute. But there is a problem. Whenever we play board games together, he has a habit of doing this thing where he goes into what I can only call game-splainer mode. I'm calling it this because it's quite different to the way a human person would naturally and casually explain the rules to a game. Instead, his normally jocular and mild-mannered tone morphs into something between a game show host, Home Shopping Channel salesperson, and gladiator. Suddenly, winning and losing becomes a life and death struggle, but crucially, not understanding the rules or making a mistake when it's my turn suddenly feels like a crime. I love playing board games with him, but I dread unboxing a new game or playing one he's played before that I haven't. He even does it at other people's houses, and I cringe inside when I see the fear spreading to them. How can I tell him that he can just be himself while explaining again, and we will still listen and learn the rules? Yours sincerely, Gamesplained in Greystones.
So this is about, like, the tone and how he gets a little too...
They're tone policing, you're right. Cancel this person.
He gets too, like, into the character of the, like, game master.
Well, that, and it makes people feel on edge.
That's true, but I think sometimes you have to... You have to make sure that you're reading it correctly and that...
It doesn't sound like he is.
You think he is being that uncomfortable and it's not just his wife cringing?
His girlfriend.
Girlfriend cringing?
I think so.
I don't know. Sometimes when you're really close to a person, you can find something they do cringy where it's like, to the crowd, they're actually just like, oh, this is just I don't know, maybe a little extra, but it's not like, it's not so bad.
And what would Izzy say as an example of that?
To me, as long as it's not like he's getting mean or anything, it might just be something people don't really like clock as intensely as you. Like, she's, I guess there's a part where she says like he makes that not understanding a rule or making a mistake feels like a crime. That's the part where it feels like maybe he gets mean or a little terse.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the part that's a problem. The rest of it, it's like, I don't know, let somebody be a little extra sometimes if he likes to get into like a certain mindset of being game master. I feel like I know that guy in my friend group, the guy who's like, when he's explaining, is like very, I don't know, just takes on the personality of like, I've read the rules, I'm the guy who knows the rules.
And you're saying this is a male trait?
Oh, it is a man in my group of friends, yeah.
Hmm.
Why are you taking like a tone of like an inquisitor at a witch trial, Adrian? What's your opinion? Interesting.
My opinion is that you can explain a game while being a normal human being.
Okay. So how do you think she should talk to him to make him more regular?
Sex strike.
I do love a sex strike.
Go on a sex strike until he becomes normal. Start simple. Get him to explain tic-tac-toe to a child.
Hmm. Well, no, because
without
that's
breaking into song.
I was going to say that's a situation where you have to be like very jovial and almost like a character. You're talking to a kid.
To explain tic-tac-toe?
If I go here, you go here. I go here, you go here.
And it do be like that sometimes, though. That's real. That's true. Explain that game where you put a bunch of dots in a grid and then you have to make squares and close squares by drawing one line at a time to a kid.
Oh, I do like that game.
I never had the attention span for it.
That was a real paper and pencil classic when you were in class and didn't have anything to do.
Yeah, paper, pencil, classic. I do like that this is only a nerdy person's Sir Mix-a-Lot question. Other couples can go their entire lives without knowing this thing.
Oh, yeah, because they don't play that many board games together.
Yeah.
I will say, if you play in a board game night and it's a new board game, that is going to mean that there's going to be 30 minutes of awkwardness in the night while everybody tries to ruffle through the rule book and figure it out. You have to do a board game night with a game you've like kind of pre-learned.
Oh, yeah. You have experience with this more recently than I have. Is that what you guys do? Everyone learns it beforehand? Or?
No, like I said, in the current friend group, there's a guy who usually knows the game and has played it before.
And he's partnerless?
No, he has a partner.
And she cringes? They cringe?
I don't think so. I don't cringe. I like how he really takes like a very paternalistic attitude to...
Oh, he's going zaddy mode on you.
He's going zaddy mode.
Okay, I see why you like it, you dirty little freak. Now you explain Udo to me harder, daddy.
But okay, yeah, I mean, cringing at a partner, it's never a good thing. It always feels like that relationship's like a little... That's not a good emotion to feel for a partner, is cringe.
Yeah.
And it is a touchy subject because you don't want to make them feel embarrassed about being themselves. How do you get across to them that, like, there's something just a little bit off about how they do something in a social setting?
Videotape him and make him watch it back.
Yeah, that'll make you the normal one.
Yeah. Ooh, do an impression of him doing it.
That's true. I guess if you make it a joke that you play along with the friends, that kind of brings... That's a way to bring it up in a more funny, like, group setting. If you're just like, oh my gosh, when he explains board games, he's like this. But to me, this feels like such a forgivable thing. I mean, obviously not the part where he's, like, rude to you if you do the rules wrong, but the part where he's just a little extra about being game master, like, that's such a forgivable type of cringy. That's such a, like, oh, that's a cute personality trait.
Being I feel like the answer is pretty simple.
Which is?
Just learn the rules to every game ever.
And be better than him.
Well, you don't have to be better than him, but you never have to worry about him explaining the rules to you.
That seems like a lot of work. I mean, the reason they probably have this dynamic... The reason they probably have this dynamic is because he's a learner and she's more of like a loosey-goosey type person and he's a by-the-books type.
You think he's writing in about how I'm dating a game not knower?
Every time we play a board game, I spend all this time explaining it to her, and then it gets to her turn, and she acts like she's never heard a single rule. It's like, listen to me.
I was really embarrassed once when I played, it's not Ticket to Ride. It was some kind of board game that is played on, like, a 3D train, where you can go up and down on the train, And I did like a series of moves where I wasn't really paying attention. And so like I went downstairs, shot, went back upstairs and then hit or something like that. And it was like the exact opposite of what I meant to do. And I looked like an idiot and I really hated it.
Yeah, this is why when I'm with you, I usually keep it simple, like hungry, hungry hippos, something that's hungry, easy hungry, for you to
hungry,
get.
Hungry, hungry hippos. I can do that.
Yeah.
You're like, if I go over here, I eat over here. I eat over here. You eat over here.
Rock 'em, sock 'em robots. You punch over here. I punch over here.
I punch over here. Yeah, I mean, you could always just let someone else teach the game. I don't know. It's not that, not the biggest deal.
I mean, if he's the guy who takes the time to do it, though, like I said, it's kind of a nice thing because it's in a way,
yeah.
It's like I always don't want to be the one to read the rule book and figure it out and explain it to everybody. Like, I don't mind that some people have this type of like real by the books rules personality. I'm like, good. They'll figure out the game and I'll learn it through them. That's a service.
They're providing a good and or service to you. Okay.
But, yeah, okay. How do you tell a partner outside of this specific situation? How do you tell a partner to bring it down a notch without like embarrassing them or making them feel like on guard, like you're insulting them?
Use your safe word.
Hmm.
You say dolphin.
Okay, Donald Glover.
I don't know who you're playing games with who would also not be nerdy freaks like you.
Oh, for me?
I didn't realize you were playing games with your jock friends. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why you'd be embarrassed about your partner doing this.
The way they've described it seems really on the edge to me, but I can see a situation where somebody's so extra that you do really want to tell them, like, I don't know, stop doing the game show host voice. All right, gather around. Like, is he doing that? He's like, gather around. I have a story to tell. A story of capitalism. Today, we're playing with the one and only Monopoly. So, we're going to set our pieces on. You know, is he going like that? Like, it's that much of a actor? What is he doing?
Well, it seems like it's also separated into the fact that, like, competitiveness and winning and losing becomes a big deal, too. That might also be a big part of it.
I've been accused of that. We've talked about that on the podcast.
Being too big into winning?
Yeah. It was only with one friend group one time that this accusation was thrown at me. And so I don't feel like it's a problem, but it has been thrown at me. Yeah. And it was with Monopoly.
Ooh, you do love capitalism.
I do love capitalism.
You do love trying to win that.
I was told that I should just let somebody stay in the game even though I was about to take their properties. And I was like, no, I don't want the game to go on forever. Fucking winning.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I've done the same in an opposite situation where I did a suboptimal move to get the game to end. And the person was like, no, you shouldn't do that. You should do this. And I was like, no, I want the game to fucking end. All right. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Let's see what Cello's got to say. Thank you for your excellent question. Firstly, I very much appreciate how you have differentiated between game explainers and game splainers. I think we can agree, and not just because it's my favorite part of the job, that game explainers provide a valuable service in helping people get started on a new game quickly. Some folks are delighted by a 28-page rulebook, but others will take one look at that alongside the pile of stuff that came out of the box and be grateful that someone is willing to act as their lifeline. So just to be clear, we love a game explainer. But then there are game splainers, those who let the power of superior knowledge go into their heads. Those who enjoy explaining the game more than the players may ever enjoy eventually playing it, who dive in without checking whether people already know the rules, and may even carry on explaining what others should do on their turns even once the game has begun. Oh yeah, that is kind of annoying. And potentially long after all of the guests have gone home.
Well, that's just the thing we've been doing about, you go here, I go here. You do this on your turn, I'll do this, so you better watch out.
It's easy enough to dismiss this as bombast, pomposity, or desperation to remain the focal point of the game night, even at the expense of irritating or belittling fellow players. If that's what's going on, though, maybe gaming together should not be in your future. And if that's a game changer, sorry, maybe it's the relationship that's not right. But if you simply find yourself rolling your eyes or sighing as your partner shifts gears into gamesplainer mode, I invite you to see this from another perspective. From what I've witnessed, gamesplainers are most often simply game enthusiasts who allow their joy to spill over a little too freely. Okay, sometimes freely enough to make me wish I were a gelatinous cube who could seep into the floor, While hearing all about worker placement versus tile placement, or fantasize what I'd do if I really were Ursula or the Red Queen as an asymmetrical game is explained to me for the upteenth time. But for now, let's assume your partner loves gaming so much that he nerds out, takes to an imagined game podium, and gives the fantasy "board games are amazing, and this one in particular" lecture for the ages, right there at the dining room table turned lecture hall of his mind. Right with that context in mind, onto the solutions. One approach for dealing with the problem kindly could be to become a role model of good game explaining behavior yourself, to set him on the right path while simultaneously providing some relief to your fellow gamers. Here are some pointers to get you started. First, when you know there's a game night coming up, make game suggestions. Get in early with some options you know are appropriate level of complexity for the group, with rules you are confident about already. On the night, board game night that is, you make the first move. Practice your speed and agility at explaining, and even if the game is new to you, don't be afraid to make the first grab for that precious rulebook. Okay, now games night is underway. Picture it. Your ultimate board game playlist is playing. Everybody's drinks are poured, and the stack of your chosen games awaits you at the end of the table. It's time to showcase some excellent game explaining with a hands-on demonstration. Learning through doing is a great way to get everybody involved in learning the game, and people often feel more engaged as soon as they have the components at their fingertips. By the same token, sorry again, don't be afraid to adapt the game to make it more appropriate to the audience, dropping the more complex rules of the first playthrough, or introducing trickier concepts after the first round are great ways to flatten the learning curve, and some games even come with quick start rules to make this easier. Now, taking the lead isn't for everyone. If all that sounds like too much stress, queuing up a YouTube walkthrough, or better yet, sharing it with the group beforehand, could also be a great way to speed things up a little, while still giving your fella a shorter moment in the spotlight. So, game-splained in Greystones, there you have it. It's a slippery slope from explainer to splainer. Just ask anyone who's in a relationship with any of the Treehouse staff. Assume good intent, and don't be afraid to take the reins and set a good example. Good luck, Chella, on behalf of Team Treehouse, XX.
Oh, this was the first time they did this column. Did you check to see if it was long-lived?
I think they had one more.
Oh.
And it was another person asking about being a game splainer.
It's a real problem in the gaming community.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I think there was something about you becoming the perfect game explainer that almost felt as ridiculous as my advice of just learning the rules of every game. But the YouTube tutorial made sense.
Yeah, I've done that before. I think that's a pretty good way to do it, because honestly, the YouTube videos are...
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah, they're pretty good, and you actually get to see everything, whereas, like, you know, when you're reading it from the rule book, you're like, half the time you're flipping back to the first page to be like, which token is that? What does it look like? But if you see somebody on YouTube showing you, they're holding it up or whatever, it's kind of nice. Mm. It actually explains it quicker.
Yeah, yeah. Usually I just type in Miss Rachel plus whatever board game I'm playing.
And she's like, if you hit the snake, I go here. If you hit the ladder, I go here.
I go here.
You hit a duck, I hit a go. We're not on the same level.
Sheesh.
Duck, duck, go. Are you allowed to hit a go right after you get up? Or do you have to do a duck?
Do you mean duck, duck, goose?
Oh, duck, duck, goose. Yeah. Duck, duck, goose. Can you hit
duck, duck, go is the private browser that you use for your naughty searches.
Oh, yeah. That is what that is, right? Why is my brain like this?
I don't know. I mean, they're meant to be related. That was part of why they came up with that name.
Duck, duck, goose. Can you hit a goose right after you get up, or do you have to hit a duck first?
That's what you did if you were a tricky kid. Or you did that thing where you go, like while you're like waving over someone's head.
Oh, tricky.
Mm-hmm. And he's a duck.
But yeah, I thought that was some good advice. That made sense to me. Like you said, I don't know. It seems like you're really having to flip your guys' interests in whether or not he seems like he already enjoys doing that, and you're taking it from him just because you don't want to watch him do something cringy.
Sex strike.
Honestly, yeah, let's just go back to that. That we could have skipped all those words for two perfect words.
Sex strike, baby.
Sex strike. I think the right way to handle it is when you get home being like, you fucking embarrassed me. How dare you? Everybody, you were making a clown of yourself.
You pull that shit again, you ain't never getting another taste of this sweet poon. Sex strike. We just got the results of the strike authorization vote.
and we're going wild cap. it didn't pass. The NLRB is actually very strict nowadays. We're not allowed to strike. We're going wildcat.
We're going wildcat, baby.
Do you think Trump's NLRB has put out a memo on no sex strikes?
Probably, yeah. That is part of it, yeah. All right, Paul. So both of us didn't even entertain the question of either of us not being on the Fast Money team for Family Feud. And that's because we're both shooters in these streets when it comes to Fast Money. But we're going to put that to the test right now. We have the best Family Feud questions and answers. What is it going to be? 20 seconds on the clock, 5 questions, and seeing how many points we get. Couple rounds of that? Yeah. So, Paul, do you want to go first or second?
Either or.
All right. It'll start after I read the first question. For anyone who doesn't know Fast Money, that's the part of Family Feud where after you win the regular round, it's 20 seconds, 25 seconds for the second person who goes. You're trying to get to 200 points, so you're trying to get... It's usually questions where it's easy to get the number one answer, but I guess we're kind of modifying it a little bit. Also, and again, because we modified it a little bit, it's usually pretty embarrassing if you get anything less than like 120 or 30. But let's see how Paul does.
Alrighty.
Name an occasion for which you might wear your lucky underwear.
First date.
Name something you find in a breakfast buffet.
Pancakes.
If there was a store that only sold husbands, most people would try to buy one with what? Would try to buy a husband with what?
Good job.
Name a professional sport where the players make a lot of money.
Football.
Nice. All right, that's 25, so you didn't get to your last one. But, Paul, good job. Name an occasion for which you might wear your lucky underwear. Hot date. That's number one. 30 Ooh. Points. Name something you find in a breakfast buffet. Pancakes, not on the board.
Damn.
Number one was eggs for 25 points, so you're at 30 points. If there was, this one was a tricky one. I was trying to make the wording more clear. If there was a store that only sold husbands, most people would try to buy one with what? And a job is the number one answer, 24 points. Name a professional sport where the players make a lot of money, football, 29.
Nice.
And then 15 that you didn't get to. Name something you'd do if the person sitting next to you on an airplane had BO.
Oh, that one would have been tough.
Change seats. Number one answer.
Okay, so that was up to number 14.
That was up to 15, yeah. So you got 29 points, 24 points, and 30 points.
So how much was that total?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to be adding them up.
Sorry, I was not. All right, Adrian, for your first round.
I'm ready, Steve. Hit me with it, Steve.
Name a Marvel Avenger.
Iron Man.
In horror movies, name a place teenagers go when there's a killer on the loose.
Car.
Name a state that has a lot of sports teams.
Massachusetts. New York.
Name something snowmen might have nightmares about.
The sun melting.
Name a place where if her husband took her there for her anniversary, a wife would be mad.
Bowling alley. Homer Simpson ass.
Okay.
I don't know about that last answer.
Okay, for name a Marvel's Avenger, you said Iron Man for 22 points.
Ayy. Brap, brap, brap.
For in a horror movie.
Wait, was that number one or what was number one?
Number one was Captain America tied for 22 points.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
In a horror movie, name a place teenagers go when there's always a killer on the loose, and you said a car for 0 points. Number one was a cabin for 49 points.
Yeah, I don't think I fully understood what that meant.
Name a state that has a lot of sports teams. You said
where there's always a killer. No, I still don't really get what that question is trying to ask.
I think it's just like where name a horror movie setting would have been the... Where teenagers go. Name a setting where teenagers go in a horror movie. Name a state that has a lot of sports teams. You said Massachusetts for 0 points. I think you switched that one, though, but I can't remember now where.
I said New York in the last second. I don't know if you're allowed to switch like that, though.
Okay, I'll give you the 33.
Oh, hell yeah, that's a big point.
Name something, and that was number one, New York for 33. Name something snowmen might have nightmares about, and you said, what did you say?
I said the sun are melting.
Oh, that's...
You should... Yeah, next time we'll do a better Stop recording my answers.
You got 62 points on that one.
Hey, that big money one. Round. That makes up for my next one.
And name a place where if her husband took her on an anniversary, a wife would be mad. You named a bowling alley for 4 points.
I didn't get nothing. It wasn't worth nothing. tacky restaurant. I don't know if I would have. Was that what you would have said? What would you have said?
For 131 points total.
All right, Paul. Next round for you. Here we go. Starting at 21. Time will start after I read the question. Name a common candy bar component.
Nougat.
Name a type of insurance.
Car.
Name something a woman with a crush on Santa might leave out for him instead of cookies.
Her panties.
Name something you would buy after getting engaged.
A ring.
Name something that might be full of holes.
Socks.
All right. Okay. Not a bad round, Paul. Not a bad round.
Wait, can you do the Steve Harvey face for the panties answer? And you said panties?
You said pant. You need Jesus. Name a common candy bar component. Paul said nougat. 10 points. Number one answer, chocolate. We were looking for a chocolate. 22. Name a type of insurance. Paul said car. Number one answer, 28 points. There's blackjack insurance? That was 2 points. If you had said that. Name something a woman with a crush on Santa might leave out for him instead of cookies. Number two answer, lingerie. Her panties. All right. Y'all nasty. Y'all nasty. Number one answer, candy or better food. number four, name something you would buy after getting engaged. A ring. Second place answer, 31 points. Number one, dress.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Why would you buy a ring after? I guess like
yeah, the actual... Well, you get a wedding ring, right? Yeah. Besides an engagement ring? Okay. Name something that might be full of holes. Paul said, clothes or socks, 16 points. Number one answer, Swiss cheese.
Number one answer was Swiss cheese.
mm-hmm. For 2 points, you could have gotten golf course. How'd you do on that one? You got a lot of second place ones.
99 points. Other than letters, name something people get in the mail.
Packages.
Name something a naughty kid does to Santa.
Fucks his wife?
Name a country with a large population.
China.
Name something a squirrel might get in a fight with if it tried to take his nuts.
A dog.
Name a type of building where it always seems to be cold.
Office building.
Okay.
Indoors ice rink. Yeah, I did not do a good job on that one, Steve.
Okay, for number one, you said, other than letters, name something people get in the mail. You said packages for 14. The number one answer was junk mail.
What? That's separate from letter?
Well, I guess letters people consider like a letter from a friend. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Name something that a naughty kid does to Santa, and you said, what? Fuck him?
His wife.
Fuck his wife.
I'm not gay, Paul.
Number one was, that is not on the board. Number one was pull his beard for 40.
Oh, like on his lap. Okay.
Name a country with a large they meant population. Like an
overt scheme.
You said China, which was number one for 45 points.
Less than half people thought China had the biggest population. Okay.
Name something a squirrel might get in a fight with if it tried to take his nuts.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this one.
What did you say?
I said dog.
Dog, and you got 5 points for dog. Number one was bird or crow for 30 points.
Bird. Yeah, that makes sense.
For a total of...
Wait, was there not one more?
Oh, name a type of building where it always seems to be cold. You said office, which was number one for 44 points.
You try to take away my 44 points. I see how it is. Another squirrel was an option. If I had known that, I would have said another squirrel.
Do they usually ask what the options are? You got 108 points on that round.
How is Indonesia under Mexico, Brazil, and the United States? Don't they have a bigger population than all of them? People are so dumb.
I think people don't think about Indonesia.
They forgot about Indonesia. Resetting the clock. Here you go. Time starts when I read the first question. Name something people do to their armpits.
Smell them.
Name something that might make you suspect your new house is haunted.
Doors opening and closing.
Name something that grows faster than you want it to.
Grass.
Name something that might be brewing.
Beer.
Name an occupation that begins with the letter J.
Janitor.
All right. Ding, ding, ding,
I think
ding.
Janitor is going to be the big one on that.
That's a good answer, Paul. That's good answers. Let's see how you did, okay? Let's see how you did. You put some wacky answers in there, too. You need Jesus. All right. Name something people do with their armpits. You said sniff them. 6 points.
Oh, damn. What was number one?
Number one answer is shave, wax them. So people are always doing. Number two, name something that might make you suspect your new house is haunted. You said doors open or close. 7 points. Damn. Fourth one down. Number one answer was noise, voices. Number three, name something that grows faster than you want. You said grass, lawn, or weeds. 14 points. Second answer. Number one was hair or unibrow. I know we can't relate about that. Me and Steve Harvey. You know what I mean? Mustache hair. Grows pretty regular. Name something that might be brewing. You said beer. Second place answer for 28 points. Number one answer was coffee. My last answer was a plot on your ops.
That's actually pretty good. I wish I'd said that. A plot for brewing.
Number five, name an occupation that begins with the letter J. You didn't say juggler. You didn't say journalist. You didn't say jockey. You didn't say jeweler. You didn't say judge or justice. You said janitor for 62 points.
All right, I took home 117 on that one.
Yeah, that one was that last one. Gave you a lot.
All right, Adrian. You ready?
Yeah, I'm going for all number ones this time, Steve. That's my strategy.
That's a good strategy. That's a good strategy.
Thank you, son. See, I'm old school.
This is eating into your time. You know that, right?
Oh, shit. You didn't read the first question yet.
I'm joking. Name something you've seen your neighbor doing outside while wearing a bathrobe.
Get the mail.
Name something that starts with the word chow.
Chow mein.
Name something that has to be licked.
A popsicle.
When you call in sick to work Pussy. Or school, name something you do to make it believable.
Cough.
Name an activity that requires using your lips. Remember, you got time on this one.
Ooh. Kissing. Pussy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I implemented the strategy pretty good.
Actually,
one,
yeah. Yeah, I think you took home all the number ones. Name something that you've seen a neighbor doing outside while wearing a bathrobe. You said getting the mail, and I will count that for getting the newspaper for number one for 57 points.
Was it a letter or is it a newspaper? You know, there's a big difference.
Name something that starts with the word chow. Chow mein. Once again, 57 points.
Oh, yeah. Bah, bah, bah. What were the other answers? Chow down?
Chowder. For 12.
Chowder. Okay. Chowder.
Name something that has to be licked. You said popsicle for 10 points. Number one was lollipop.
Oh, I said room temp popsicle. That's a lollipop.
When you call in sick to work.
Actually, what was pussy? I said pussy.
Name something that you do to make it believable. You said cough for a whopping 68 points.
Yeah.
Name an activity that requires using your lips. You said kissing pussy for 56 points. They left off the word pussy on their
keep it family too friendly. Scared. So I got all but one of them.
And you got 248 points.
Oh, I would have won it on my own. Hell yeah. I don't need anybody. I've been a solo act since Looney Tunes and Goofy Troops. Did I get that out smoothly?
Yeah.
Edit that out. All right, you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Ooh, okay. Here we go. Polly boy.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the big money. Name an animal. A snake can swallow whole.
A rat.
Name a Mouse. Word you can use instead of woman.
Lady.
Name something you see outside that would make you want to stay inside.
Rain.
Name something specific about Mickey Mouse other mice might make fun of.
His ears.
Fill in the blank. Raging blank. Ran out of time.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll do Celebrity Family Feud rules. You got anything?
Boner?
All right.
Re-
here killing Steve over here. He's a boner. All right. Name an animal a snake can swallow whole. You said rat, but then changed to mouse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, mouse slash rat's the number one answer for 73 points. Number two was crocodile. Or
enough people have seen that one video that they're
yeah, but I say name a word you can use instead of woman. You said broad. Broad is worth 6 points. No, you said lady. Lady was 36 points. I like how you're gonna buy into you saying broad though. You had no objections. Name something you see outside that would make you want to stay inside. You said rain, which will count. Bad weather slash tornado, 71 points for the first answer. I really thought you were going to go all the way on this one. Name something specific about Mickey Mouse that other mice might make fun of. His ears, 36 points, number one answer. Fill in the blank, raging blank. You said raging boner.
Bull would have been the number one answer.
Raging bull for 74 points.
Okay, I'm going to put that in. 290 points.
That was maybe a full minute after I asked that question that came up with that.
I'm putting it in. I've been nice to you.
That was a full commercial break that we came back and you decided, oh, wait, you know what? I got an answer.
290 points. All right, Adrian, for your final round, name something that shakes, rattles, and rolls.
A bad car.
Name an animal starting with the letter C that you never want to eat.
Crocodile.
Other than feet, name something that runs.
A good car.
Name something a person might keep in a cellar.
A child.
Give me another word people say for river end.
For river bayou?
Okay.
See, my strategy for this one was to go for the 100.
Name something that shakes, rattles, and rolls. Did you say a shitty car specifically or just a car?
I said a bad car, yeah.
But the number one answer is an old car for 31 points.
Really? Yeah. That's insane. When I got that wrong, I thought I was like, well, now I'm just going to play to be funny. I got that clearly wrong.
Name an animal starting with the letter C that you'd never want to eat. You said crocodile, which is not on the board. Cat for 64 points.
Oh.
Would have been the number one. Other than feet, name something that runs. You said a car for 24 points.
A good car.
The number one answer was water or toilet for 37 points.
Something that runs, a toilet or water. Okay, I guess.
Name something that a person might keep in a cellar. You said a child, which is not on the board. Wine would have been the number one answer for 54 points.
Is that not a child? Dead bodies.
I'm not giving you that one.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Give me another word people say for river end. You said bayou, which is not on the board.
For rear end?
Oh.
How did you misread it? That's so many letters. That's so many letters off. Like, I was like, that's not a phrase. What do you mean river end?
Okay, wait. Speed round. Tell me a nickname someone gives their lover that starts with the word sugar.
What?
Give me.
Let's
tell
go.
Me.
Can we?
No, we'll get I'm back not to it. That we'll out, get, by we'll get
okay,
back
okay,
to right, it. We'll get back to it.
I want to make it very clear what just happened.
We'll get back to it.
Happened.
Tell me a nickname someone gives their lover that starts with the word sugar.
Sugar river end.
Come on.
Sugar bear.
Okay, 27 points.
What was the number one answer?
Sugar pie.
What was it? River end. All right, so what happened here?
What? Steve is a professional. This is my first time ever doing this.
It's true. That's true. I did not think
you want
Ars
me to be as
be
good
high.
As Steve on my first time.
I was hoping, in the ballpark of Steve.
Oh, okay. So this whole thing's going to be about how I messed up one thing at the end now.
I think we know what the third segment is now.
It's that I'm not perfect enough. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and our total points total, when we count the fact that I got Raging Bull, is I have 589 to your 569.
That's a close game. That's a close game for things being stacked against me all my life. Trying to keep me down. That was a good game.
That was a good game. And I will concede that you won since it took me 4 or 5 minutes to get Raging Bull. On a technicality, you won because it took me half an hour.
It took me six times the normal amount. of time you usually get to think of
that small technicality.
Big facts, no cap. Let's get out of here.
Oh, you're going to be just like that woman's boyfriend from the article we read, where all of a sudden rules are the most important thing to Adrian. All he's a stickler
suddenly
for
it's
the
life
rules.
Or death.
Yeah, we can do a big fact, no cap. Big fact. Sometimes it's hard to read, and we should be nice to our friends when they mess up reading a simple sentence.
That's true. That's true.
And forgive them. Say you forgive me.
I forgive you, obviously.
Say it doesn't make me stupid.
It doesn't make you stupid, Paul. Okay. Plenty of people don't know how to read.
Yeah.
My no cap is that even if you feel a little under the weather, it's still fun to do a podcast. It's fun to hang with your friends. Don't do it in person, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't spread COVID.
I don't have the COVID. Actually, I haven't tested yet. I might have the COVID.
Right before this episode started, Adrian was playing with the egg from the first Alien movie and jumped into him. And he's like, I don't know what I could have. Could be anything.
All my life, they're trying to keep me down. All right,
bye, buddy. Everybody.